This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked Jesus, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Jesus said, "But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to congregations and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and governors because of my name. You will be betrayed even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name." This is a bleak gospel lesson. Not a lesson that we end with a resounding, "This is the gospel of our Lord." So much as a questioning, "This is the gospel of our Lord?" You will be arrested, persecuted, handed over, questioned, betrayed, killed, hated because of my name. Those four words, I think, are the key to understanding why Jesus says what he says. Because of my name. This lesson comes at the end of Jesus' ministry. Chapter 21, our chapter today, is the last chapter in Luke before the betrayal and the execution, or when Jesus is handed over to be executed. This is at the end of Jesus' ministry. And during that ministry, Jesus preached on difficult issues. And honestly, he made a lot of people mad. Jesus broke rules healing on the Sabbath, touching people who were unclean. Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors, the undesirables of society. He preached economic justice. He declared the year of the Lord's favor, which is when you let prisoners go free. Questioned those who abused their powers, people who took advantage of widows, orphans, the vulnerable. Jesus dared to love those who were considered unlovable. In Jesus' ministry, did things that really matter? Did things and spoke to issues that were matters of life and death for many people. And boy, did those things create tension. One might even say conflict. Jesus' ministry, it was marked by conflict. It seems like for every person that Jesus healed, there was a person in the crowd crying out, "Jesus, you can't do that!" For every teaching Jesus preached, there was someone conspiring to end his ministry, even his life. Conflict and tension followed Jesus throughout his ministry because Jesus talked about and he did things that really matter. Things that were a matter of life and death, healing those who have been suffering for decades, feeding those who were starving, loving those who were starved for love. And Jesus did all of these things in God's name. And he calls on us to do the same in his name. "Because of my name," Jesus says. Jesus wants us to have a faith that matters, that really makes a difference in the world, that even addresses difficult issues. And these difficult issues, they're bound to cause conflict because the stakes are high. Issues that really matter are matters of life and death for a lot of people. And the stakes are high, and the tension is too. Jesus is well aware of this. And in our gospel lesson for today, I think he's trying to prepare us for that tension and conflict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. Now, what's interesting about the lectionary is that we get this lesson on the very same day that we get a lesson from the book of Malachi. Now, the very end of Malachi, so we have almost the end of Malachi, but I want to skip ahead and read the very, very last verses. And in the Protestant ordering of the Old Testament, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. This is how we end the Hebrew Bible. And at the very end of Malachi, God says this: "Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. The prophet will turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse." Malachi ends with a foretelling of familial reconciliation. Parents and children's hearts will be turned towards one another. Families will be restored. This sounds much more like the gospel of our Lord than what Jesus gives us today. And at church, we would much rather hear that we are a big, happy family than Jesus' foretelling of families for betraying and killing one another. Malachi presents a much more appealing message than the one Jesus gives us. But I don't think that we can choose one or the other. For both of these messages come from God. So how do we hold the divisions of families in the name of Jesus and the restoration of families foretold by God together? How can we hold these two seemingly contradictory messages together? The only answer I can think of is by being grounded, absolutely grounded, in the steadfast love of God. Our psalm today reminds us of this steadfast love. It says that God remembers God's steadfast love and faithfulness for God's people. God roots every relationship in steadfast love. That is how God manages to love and keep loving us wayward people. God remembers God's steadfast love and faithfulness. God roots, absolutely roots, every relationship in a love that does not fail. And that same steadfast love is the very reason that Jesus' ministry is marked by such conflict. He refuses to let anything get in the way of love. If there is a rule, like not healing on the Sabbath, that gets in the way of loving and healing somebody, Jesus breaks that rule. If there's an injustice, taking advantage of someone, like the widow, Jesus is going to call it out, no matter who it makes mad, so that he can take care of that widow and show her love. If there is someone who is not welcome at the table because they are considered undesirable, then Jesus will give his very body as the meal so that all are fed and loved. Jesus instigated a lot of tension. He caused a lot of conflict, and he did it out of love. When Jesus says to do things in his name, he means to love in his name. Not to love in a passive way, but to love in a way that really, really matters. In a way that makes a difference in matters of life and death. And when we love in that way, Jesus warns us that it will cause conflict. Because on the issues that matter, stakes are high. And the tension is too. But I think that when we love in the way that Jesus calls us to, it also has the potential to fulfill what God foretells in Malachi, the restoration of families. For it is only through steadfast love that we can simultaneously be a family and we can grapple with and maybe even disagree on the issues that really matter. It's only steadfast love that teaches us how to listen with true empathy, to hear different experiences and opinions that we carry with open ears and open hearts. It's steadfast love that teaches us to seek to understand one another when we are in conflict, that brings us into discussion so that we can learn from one another. It is steadfast love that teaches us to ask questions that are full of curiosity rather than accusation. That teaches us to believe the best in one another rather than assuming the worst. It's the steadfast love of God that holds our family of faith together even when we disagree. And it is the steadfast love of Jesus that calls us into tension, even into conflict. For the steadfast love of Christ challenges us to love in the ways that really, really matter. My siblings, we live in a world that is deeply divided. where it is so much easier to just walk away than to engage in disagreement, in discussion, in discovery. We, as a family of faith, are called to something better than just walking away. We're called to discover with one another, to love in the ways that really matter, and to be so deeply rooted in love for one another, so deeply rooted in the steadfast love of God, that we can disagree and love. Love as a family. Amen.